Hello, spoiler party listeners. This month we are talking about the Vermilion Trilogy by Terry Pratchett. I'm Claire.
I'm Micah.
And I'm sick, so if I start coughing or blowing my nose, hopefully Micah will edit it out.
I'll do my best. And if you hear coughing and sneezing, you know I got lazy at some point in time. But it shouldn't be that big a deal. Hopefully.
So, yes, the Vermilion was my choice, because I love it a lot, and it is a trilogy, but we decided that it was short enough, and I originally read it in omnibus form anyway, so we kind of just considered it one book, especially since Micah made us read that Tad Williams book that was like 5 million pages long, so I figured.
Yeah, I think City of the Golden Shadow is longer than all three of these books.
Yeah, so I'm still working my way through the second one, but.
It's a long book.
It's a long series. But it's not this book.
So.
This is a book about gnomes.
And it's about gnomes, that's for certain.
They're tiny people.
And they think fast.
And they live fast and like their life and everything basically moves at 3 times the speed of humans or whatever. Something like that. 3 times, right?
Live fast, die young. Bad girls do it well.
I'm not sure how many parallels we can really draw between gnomes and MIA, but
probably not a lot. But it's a Terry Pratchett book, and so it's written very well.
But it
well.
Is not Discworld. That's important.
It is not a Discworld book. In fact, it takes place on Earth.
The Wikipedia page says that it might take place in the same like Earth, whatever, as
the airplane from the first Discworld book.
Only You Can Save Mankind, Johnny. Oh. You know all the, oh, those books. But given that the Wikipedia page for this trilogy is the worst, I'm not sure
probably some fanboy shit, because I've read those books too, and
I haven't reread them in a long time, so maybe there's some sort of like reference that draws the two together vaguely. Pratchett's fond of that, but
Pratchett does all that stuff or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, avoid the Wikipedia page. It's terrible.
In my head canon, this is the same Earth from which Two Flower and Rincewind were on an airplane in the first one. So,
yes,
because that makes sense to me.
Because of the Concorde and the airplane.
Absolutely. That's actually the airplane they were on.
Ah.
Yep.
I see.
The gnomes just missed the treasure chest. The chest. And treasure chest. God, I haven't read this book in forever.
The luggage. Yeah.
And they missed them. But there was a lot of chaos going on that plane. There was a gnome. Things were weird.
That's true.
Anyway.
So, like I said, fun note. When I originally read this book, it was in an omnibus that was gifted to us by none other than our listener, Melanie. Yay, Melanie!
Our well-confirmed listener, yes.
So, yes. Gnomes. I really like this book a lot. Or these books. I was a big fan.
This is my first time
reading. I'm still a big fan. I wanted to preface with that, because we're going to criticize it a lot, because, like, there's not too much to talk about on the positives other than, this is a fun read! Pratchett writes cool things! This was cool!
It's funny. The problem is that, like, everything that is good about this book is hard to talk about because it's the wordplay. Unless I just read you out, like, a bunch of quotes or whatever, and that's not funny. So, like, the wordplay is good, and, like, the overall style of Pratchett writing is good, and, like, the way the plot sort of does weird things with itself at times, outside of, like, you know, the religious dude being obnoxious and fermenting riot among the peoples. Like, outside of that part, like, the plot does this whatever silly Terry Pratchett sort of nonsense, and that's fun, whatever, but it's not, like, whatever. The things to discuss are all obnoxious. We were pre-planning.
It's all like, this could have been good if he had just done this instead.
Yeah. Like, there's so much about it that is...
There's so much about it that... reading it when I was younger, it was less like, this book is written by an old white dude, and sometimes that is very obvious.
Like, reading this is my first time reading through it. It is evident to me at every turn that this book was written by at the time less old white dude. But like, it's still very much like, you know.
Yeah.
But because Terry Pratchett just writes funny words in there, it makes it okay.
No, it's still fun to read. For sure.
That makes it okay, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. It doesn't make the bad things okay, but it makes this book reading overall a pleasurable experience.
In comparison to so many other books written by old white dudes who think they know what they're doing but don't quite get there, it's way better to read.
Yes.
So, let's talk about some of the things that old white dudes write about.
You mean you don't want to just ramble vaguely for the entirety of this podcast?
Oh, just not ever saying anything but talking around every subject?
Yes.
That is fun.
Okay. Anyway, main character Masklin, he are, like, overall vaguely main characters of two of the books.
Yeah.
I like him a lot in the first book.
Yes, in the first book he is respectable. He seemed to be smart and reasonable.
And he's so very, he's very practical, yes. And he's just like, whatever, we're just going to do what we got to do. And, you know, I support that. Good job.
Yeah.
And then the second book, he's not even there very long in the second book. He's only there for a few pages before he, like, scurries off. He's there just long enough for me to start hating him.
Yes. And then when you read the third book, you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
God, what is your deal?
Yeah. So you have this, like, super practical, reasonable guy who's like, you know,
he's living with all these old people, and they're driving him up a wall, and he wants to get away from this life, which is a terrible life. And he's, like, the driving force behind making sure all these things work out. And because of the life he lives, he is very much reasonable. And when he gets to the store, he is still very much reasonable. And he is saying that all the things in the store, not all the things in the store, silly, but, like, he confronted with the silliness that goes on inside the store. He's like, no, guys, this is silly. Why are things done this way and this way, whatever? And then, two pages into the second book, he's like, somehow has been converted fully into the way of the store thinking in terms of marriage or whatever. It's ridiculous.
Well, there's that, but it's like, I mean, isn't just the storeway thing or whatever? It's the whole, like, and his, like,
yeah,
group of people, whatever. The whole, like, you just tell a woman to get married and they do it. He says that he wants to do the store ceremony or whatever, which is weird, but,
yeah,
like, the main annoying part is that he's shown himself thus far to be a very practical person who's kind of recognizing of people and what makes them tick and how they're going to react to things, and that's, like, his whole thing, because he's not, like, super smart, he's not super, like, good at reading or super, yeah, you know, good at the technology. His whole thing is that he's good at figuring out how to make people work together and, yeah, do things and
tick.
Yeah, he's a good leader. And so it seems really weird that he would, after all of his experience with Grandma in the first book, be like, we're going to get married. And be all like,
I'm not sure. And he says,
huffy about it. He's like, it doesn't matter if you're not sure. That's not how it works.
That's how it works. You're told to get married, and then you get married.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, well then, that seems really... And so, like, I start disliking the character, and then I also got mad at the author, because it just seems really out of character.
Right.
And it seems like he's trying so hard to prove his, like, point or whatever about how Grimma's, like, super feminist or something.
Mm-hmm.
That he just...
It's a thing that occurs multiple times in these three books where in an attempt to drive a thing home, he gets way carried away.
Kind of gross.
And it's, yeah. And it's the thing of, like, it's a problem with proving a point in books. It's always it rarely ever works out well. Like, if you want to prove the point, just do the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to have, like, Grimma be feminist and whatever, and show that that's a good thing to do, like,
just do that.
Just do that instead of pointing, like, making these other dudes obnoxiously bad, and then saying two words. Yeah. So, like, see, that's not right. And then, like, having that be the entire, like, of the thing. It's like, that's not useful at all.
Yeah. So, and especially since, like, there's all these, like, vague attempts at feminism or whatever, and yet there's, like, a bare handful of female characters in all three of these books, and yeah, only, like, one of them has a major role.
Yes.
And, like, of the others, only another, like, two have, like, even semi-major roles. And then you get to the second book, which is, like, Masklin's gone off, and Gerda's gone off, and it's, you know, sort of, kind of seems like it's supposed to be Grimma's book.
Yeah.
And then, yet, still, like, so much of the space of that book is taken up by Dorcas and religious zealot dude.
Yeah.
Nicodemus. Yeah. So, that's annoying.
Yeah, like, it's set up very much, like, Grimma's gonna be in charge of these people, and she's gonna be able to do... Because she's capable, and she can handle things, and all that kind of stuff, but, like, she's not involved at all. She kind of just rolls in as Deus, because it... Somehow Dorcas got in charge.
Yeah.
It's like, how did Dorcas get in charge?
And, like, she kicks ass a bit, but it's also, like, annoying. I love Dorcas is the thing.
Oh,
but
Dorcas is awesome.
But,
Dorcas and Jacob. It's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so, I listened to it. because at work it gets me through it got me through some days. But apparently I listened to the British version, and so my Deus Ex robot was named Jacob. Mm-hmm. And apparently in the American version it's the cat machine.
No, it's...
Is it a cat? It's a cat, right?
Big John.
They call it Big John?
Like John Deere.
Oh!
Yeah. I think there's been multiple versions and stuff. Oh, okay.
They've changed it a few times to try to...
Yeah, which is weird to me because, like, I don't really associate John Deere with,
Earth movers?
Yeah, they're more like tractors.
It's a bobcat.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think of more.
Yeah.
That's why, like, it made sense for it to be, like, the cat or whatever, but, like... John Deere, I just think tractor.
Yeah, I think tractors.
Which doesn't go along with the whole, like, big claw move.
They don't
land move. They
just
call
it giant claw. Yeah.
So, that always kind of bothered me. I mean, possibly John Deere also makes those. I would not be even the least surprised. I'm sure they do.
To some degree,
they do. But just my strong association is...
I think the strongest association with that is cat. Like,
yeah.
Bobcat is, like, whatnot, and it's the...
Yeah.
The claw... I've been making claw motions with my hands that you cannot see. demonstrating how the machine works.
My main association with those is the little ones that have on playgrounds. So you operate with the levers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You move
the dirt from here to there for no good reason.
Yeah.
And then you move it back for also no good reason.
This is so great.
That was a lot of fun as a kid. Getting you prepared for a job of construction that you'll never actually have. if only they were that easy to do in real life.
Right.
There's a lot more buttons inside of that thing than the playground version.
Sadly.
Oh, you can't just spin your body around to get it to turn.
Whee!
If only. Anyway, again, with tangents about Earth movers.
Yes. So it's annoying that Grandma doesn't even really get to be the star of her own book.
Yeah. Yeah.
At all. It, you know.
Like, seriously, though, there's Granny in the first book who says some words and Grandma.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, like, the one who wants to, like, who likes machines. It's the one girl who likes machines.
And she's there for, like, two sentences.
There's, like, a mother at some point in time who
doesn't say anything. There's the one department head that's a woman, but she also says, like, two sentences.
The one in the attic? No, the other department head. The woman who's, like,
To the meeting and is, like, curious about Grandma reading and stuff.
Yes.
I'm like, no feelings of heat in your head at all?
You haven't exploded even a little bit or whatever?
No exploding? Yeah.
There's her, but she never comes back again. She's
and then there's
the council.
Shrub, the leader of the Florians, but she's also there for all of, like, three sentences.
She's there for someone to go, a woman leader?
Whoa!
That's literally her purpose, is for someone to gawk at,
like,
a woman leader.
Like, Pratchett, you can't get like, pro-women points by being like, oh, a woman leader, and then she's not even, like, there at all. Like, that doesn't work.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's basically, like, he could have made Pipsqueak that follows Masculine around, mm-hmm. like a girl, because the character is like whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been a girl. Either Anglo or, not Grim, because not Girder, because the Abbot.
Yeah.
If you wanted to keep that or whatever. But, like, so many of the characters didn't need to be dudes, but mm-hmm. they are, just because.
Oh, you could have taken the women you had and given them more.
Given them more roles. Granny come around. Like, Granny should have been around more. Like, she was
Granny
in the second book.
Definitely should have been around more.
Like, she's in the second book. Like, a little bit, only to cheer people up. But, like, they could have had a lot more cheering up happen, because Granny cheering people up
is my favorite thing in the whole world.
You know, it's so good. You think this is bad? Let me tell you what bad really was. Man, the winter of 2 years ago was, oh my god. It was snowing on top of the snow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. Or her making people better. People got sick and going to Granny to get well.
Yep.
The cheek, like, to scare your body into never being sick again, so you don't have to take any more of Granny's medicine. Like,
yep.
Which is, I think, the appropriate way to cure people's sicknesses.
Yeah. And I think what he kind of put himself into is this whole, like, I'm writing a sexist society, therefore no one in a position of authority or power or knowledge can be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just such bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, there's ways not to do that. But... just didn't happen at all.
It didn't happen at all. And what you get is a series of books in which, if you, like, I'm not going to do the math, but everybody, like, if you, like, did, like, the page count of, like, women on screen,
mm-hmm.
like, well, like, 10% of these three books have a woman around at all, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we spend as much time with stewardess, who's where she saw a thing with a face blowing raspberries.
As we do with the majority of the female characters in this book. Or the female gnomes.
Yeah. Like, so it's, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He blew a raspberry at me. What's a raspberry? I didn't blow a raspberry. I stuck my tongue out. It was funny. See? That's it. I know what a raspberry is. I was
doing the thing. Yeah. Yes. And then you blew it. So, yeah.
More things that are annoying. I am endlessly annoyed by, like, the fake impartiality, but not actually impartial because he's saying how silly things are. The debate between religion and atheism in books, like, it just... In real life, too. Like, God, kill me. But, like, the arguments between Angelo, Girder, just, God, just get away. Like, mm-hmm. Get them out of here. And, like, and then, like, Girder arguing with that random dude from Florida. Yeah. They don't even speak the same language, but they're, like, mm-hmm. whatever.
The idea that, like, religious people are so ridiculous with their religious that they're just going to argue even when they...
Yeah.
Don't understand each other.
Right. And, like...
Like, it's partially made out to be a character trait, but it's also just, like...
Yeah. And it's part of Girder's, like, crisis of faith or consciousness or whatever that he has, like, nonstop throughout the entire, like, thing. So, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Then I have to do the thing so I have to get mad about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just annoying to me. Like, mm-hmm. It never does anything. Like, mm-hmm. It never, like, reaches a point. There's no point to even having it. And... It just makes the character, like, it takes Angelo, who, but otherwise my favorite character in these books, and makes him obnoxious, like, because he's smart, and he's fun, and he wants to drive things.
And he gets so excited about
everything.
Yes.
Learning thing. I get to do a thing, and I like characters who get excited about doing a thing. And he tries to fly a plane, He tries to fly a plane, that's a problem. He just looks out the window.
And he flies the spaceship, and it's great.
He just hits buttons in the spaceship, like, he's great, but except for the fact that he's, like, douchebag atheist.
Yes!
But the thing is, I don't feel like he's written to be douchebag atheist.
Uh-huh.
I think he just happened to be douchebag atheist because that's the way...
That's the argument that Pratchett wanted to have between these two characters or whatever.
And I have as little time for douchebag atheists as I do for, like...
Overzealous religious...
Yeah.
Like,
Nicodemus is the worst.
Nicodemus is so annoying, and my only consolation is that he's, like...
He dies.
It feels like that part is, like, reasonably short.
Yes, it was reasonably short, but while it was going on, it felt like it was going on forever.
Yeah.
It felt like it was never going to end.
Yeah.
It was like, Dorcas, go grab Grima, like, before this ever even became a thing. Like, go grab Grima before this became a thing, mm-hmm. and just end this shit now, because, mm-hmm. like, she would have handled it before this became a problem. But, like, we waited until after it became a problem. Dorcas, why are you in charge? Go hang out with Jacob and figure things out. Go steal some more batteries out of people's cars.
I love that sequence, though, where he's like, take the battery and the gas, because it could be...
Need the gas, because it could be dangerous.
And Grim is all like,
There's clearly something going on here. No, it's just... Like, whenever it almost falls on them... Like, you could have hurt the battery. It's like, you could have smashed us.
Right.
Right. That's half as important.
Yeah.
But yeah. See, there are things I like.
Yes. There are a lot of things. There's all sorts of little, like, the scene here and that scene there.
Yeah.
And I like the things as a whole as well.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
I like, speaking of things, like, the thing, I think it's very much fun. Oh, I love the
thing, yeah.
It's very much fun. And he answers questions very seriously.
He gets very snooty and...
He gets his feelings hurt all the time.
And he's all like, guys, it's a metaphor about the flower.
Yeah. They're like, what the heck is this bromeliad thing? And he's like, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
They just keep going.
They just keep they don't talking even like, forever. And yeah. he's so frustrated. Like, it is just a box that is clearly frustrated all the time.
Mm-hmm.
These machines are stupid.
Yep.
It's like, yes. Yep, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Just listens to all the computers being sad that they are so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting better, though.
Yes.
Eventually, they'll get better. And Richard, grandson, 39. It's a thing Pratchett loves to do, and it's very common, but, like, just adding the ages, like, the newspaper thing.
Yeah.
Like, which book is it? Which of the
Discworld
books?
The Truth. Yeah.
And they just throw the number on the, like, it's just everywhere.
All the time.
And it gets me every time. Like, I'm mm-hmm. never not amused.
Yeah.
By making it part of the person's name.
Yes.
Like, Richard, grandson, 39 is just, yeah. Grandson, Richard, 39.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandson, Richard, 39.
Yeah.
Jet-setting playboy.
Who has no use in life, really.
Globetrotting.
Globetrotter.
Yeah. Globetrotting, jet-setting playboy.
What awful book was he reading?
Runs slowly on a... some, like... Like, I don't know, airport mystery novel type thing. Like, thriller. Terrible, like,
James Bond, like, fake book or whatever. Yeah. That's so, yeah.
It's like The Spy Without Pants or something like that. The Spy Without
Pants. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. And then Anglo's trying to read it, and they're like, this was just getting good. Yeah. They get seen a lot, though. And then, like, they go from, like, gnomes are never seen because people don't want to see them. Mm-hmm. They wrap a dude up, and then they don't kill him, which is good. They wrap a dude up, mm-hmm. and they get seen a lot. Like, his life is ruined because, like what, seriously, though, what is he going to do?
I do love Grimm's whole, like, we're going to take this dude down. Yeah.
Oh, no, I definitely appreciate
Grimm's, like, bloodthirstiness. Yes. I love it.
I like that she's very much about this. Like, we're going to fight everything. It's yep. Like, we can run away and do something else, or we can sit here and do something else, or we can just kill them all. Yeah, that's the right answer. I saw it in the thing. Gulliver's Travels. Yeah. It's not what we look like at all. We're going to turn us into pixies, and so we kill them. Like, all right, that works. It's fine. Reasonable. It seems reasonable to me. But, like, that dude's life is, like, irrevocably fucked up. Like, mm-hmm. I think there were... God, if it's not the alarm, it's my phone going off.
But, I mean, it won't be as bad for him now because, like...
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, because they do eventually, like, at the end of the book, like, totally unmask themselves.
Blow the cover off.
Essentially, everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the dude's not going to have to be, like...
See?
Seen as...
No.
You know.
Well, the problem is that, like, I imagine that he doesn't tell anyone anything ever. Like, well, how'd you get in this situation? I don't even know, dude. I don't even know. Right? And then when the gnomes...
Well, he unties himself or whatever, remember?
Right, yeah, he does untie himself.
So it's not like he has to tell anybody.
But if he tries to explain a thing, yeah. Like, you know.
But later, those things, like, near the end of the book, like, or whatever. Like, when they...
The spaceship.
Yeah.
That one was hard to hide.
Yeah.
But, like, Masculine getting caught, like, I understand whatever, I guess, but I think that was a terribly stupid idea.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was just dumb. Like, Masculine getting caught, like, going to, on purpose.
Like, on his
yeah.
part?
Yeah.
As he well admits.
Yeah.
But I guess he just didn't feel like there was anything else he could do, because he needed to make sure the thing could direct the...
Yeah, I know he needed to get near electricity. I just feel like, I don't know.
There were other options?
Yeah. There were always other options of before, and now it's just like, I guess I'll just do this. Like, hide in the truck that's going back mm-hmm. to the thing and do the things or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just so weird. And he was so broke up about the thing. It was like...
No. There's the whole thing where, like,
I know he's in a state of emotional distress.
They don't, like, bother at all with the humans when the spaceship, like, first comes down or whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they just left it that way rather than Masculine's whole, like, and then we'll come back and talk to the humans because they're lonely.
No.
I'm like,
no.
Have you seen how humans react to things that are not, like.
Yeah, like, stop it. Stop it. Don't. They put you in a box, dude.
We're not nice.
You should have gone to sleep on that bed, though.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I was gonna...
Oh, man, speaking of things that, like, when people don't do them, I get mad. Like, sleep when there's a chance to sleep. Yes. You should always sleep when there's a chance to sleep.
Yes.
I'm so with Masculine on, do not throw away that peanut.
Yeah.
You never throw away perfectly good food, especially not when you're in a situation like this.
Yeah, when you're on the run and you don't know when you'll eat again.
Right?
And time is of the essence and so forth. Like,
you got that meal, but that doesn't mean you're not going to eat this meal later. And just because that's not very much food doesn't mean that's not the bit of food that's going to make a difference between you being able to, like, go a little bit farther and get to the next place or whatever.
Yes, it could be enough to survive you to the actual next food comes. Like, mm-hmm. you just hold out. Just hold out. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, take a nap. Take a nap. Maybe if he had taken a nap, he wouldn't have been so hasty in some of his decision-making at times. Maybe if he had more naps when he was in the quarry, he wouldn't have said such dumb things to Grimma.
Nah.
What are you talking about, frogs? Ugh.
I don't understand. So obnoxious. But now I think I understand.
And then they just, but then they use it to make, like, more women jokes.
Yeah.
Like, Gerda's like, she shouldn't let her read because her brain's all fuzzy. What the fuck are you talking about frogs for? Frogs. And,
right.
You know. It was silly.
And it's all like, we know that you know that we know that it's sexist. Which always annoys me.
Yeah. But, like, you could have just not done it.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah. But, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Unlike a... They're going to live on the ship forever. They're never going to go to a planet.
Nah, the store ones, nah. Like, next generations are like
maybe some of the kids some of the will go,
yeah the people are gonna explore, but the like older generation of Stornoms is staying on that ship.
Mastodon should be dethroned though. That should be a definite coup. And Mastodon should be thrown out as leader if he decides that he wants to go back to Earth and talk to people.
Right.
That's a mistake.
Go back to Earth, get the gnomes, and continue just ignoring the hell out of the humans.
Go find Girder and his like world tour, his like peaceful world tour or whatever. Like, I have to do something.
I always wonder about how quickly Girder dies.
Oh, God. 3.4 minutes. it's not Girder, you know. He's not really set up for this. Mm-hmm. That was another decision that he should have slept on first.
Well, there was something I was going to say, and I can't remember what it was.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, so the feminism front is the only, like, diversity that this book even, like, tries, or, like, whatever, on. And, yep. Like you said, it kind of fails. I guess you could say that because this book is entirely made up of an alien race that we know as gnomes, No. But they read as pretty white.
They are white.
Yeah.
Don't they have pink faces?
I think so.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think it would have been pretty noted if there were a bunch of brown gnomes running around. I think that would have been even whatever.
Yeah. Like,
bigger news story.
And as per, you know.
All the humans are white.
Standard for most of Pratchett's work and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, pretty white, pretty cis, pretty straight.
Yeah. What if they like? There's like two Discworld books with brown people in them. Like,
yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And only one of them.
There's a couple. There's a couple with like background characters, and there's a couple with slightly more present characters.
Like.
But.
The witches one is the only one I can think of with like an omnipresence of brown people.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when Rincewind goes to
pyramids.
Like, I guess. Oh yeah. Yeah, pyramids. I guess.
And I feel like there's at least one more that has like.
Well, Rich's creosote crew or whatever they meet.
Yeah.
Them.
Anyway, we're not talking about that right now.
No.
And then like, you get
overall as a writer,
Montes Regiment as pretty much the only one with queer people in it.
Yeah.
And even that's kind of.
Yeah, it's like
only alluded to, really.
Yeah, it's very vague.
It's fairly explicit.
Okay, it's explicit, but like not in like a I don't know.
But they don't get much time or attention placed on like their romance or
right relationship. Like, there's so much like. Not in a bad way. Like, there's so much silliness going on.
No, I love that book. The pieces.
No, yeah. Like, there's so much silliness leading up to it that, like, when you actually get to the points, like,
yeah.
We're almost done here. So, yeah. But, like.
So, that was a tangent.
That's a tangent. But let's talk about Pratchett as a whole, like, and reading this book. Yeah. Like, if.
The positives of this book are pretty much Pratchett positives.
Yeah.
Span up until his more recent books, because his last few books have been a little lacking,
yo, man, sadly. I'm fully halfway through Raising Steam, and this is an old white dude for real. Man.
Yeah.
Like, it is white as hell.
And, like the Long Earth book that he wrote with Stephen Baxter was just
okay,
terrible.
I know it's not fair. Like, I know it's not fair, but, like, and because Pratchett's involved in a good bit of it, but, like, that shit seems so out of, like, because even, like, Dodger was boring and bad.
Dodger was so boring.
But, like, Dodger still read, at least, whatever. Like, the writing of The Long Earth is just not even, like, fun to read through at all. Like, Dodger wasn't, like, fun to read through. But, like, it was closer to Pratchett.
It felt like such a rehash of a Pratchett book, but it was still a Pratchett book.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like just, like, a boring.
It felt like boring. Like, these are, if you like Pratchett, you might like these things.
Right. Like, it feels like another writer wrote, like, to be, like, in the very same style without any of, like, the fun of...
This sounds like... All right, I don't want to get grim because he's going to die soon or whatever. But, like, it sounds like he died unfinished book. Like, Robert Jordan and, like, the Wheel of Time thing, right? So it's like they hired Brandon Sanderson to come in and write Dodger in the style of Terry Pratchett or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what Dodger kind of feels like.
Yeah.
But, like, The Long Earth, I feel like it's so much just not anything worth reading.
Yeah.
But like, even, like, Raising Steam, which is back in Discworld... With people I like. Like, Vimes is there, and Veterinary, and...
That's why I'm kind of apprehensive about reading it, is I don't want it... We already had Unseen Academicals, which was just rough.
And my opinion on Snuff went from really high to, like... like, falling by the second. Like,
it's a problem.
Like, decreasing steadily over time. The point I was going to make before we fell into the tangent world again... was that if Pratchett had a long history of more inclusiveness or whatever. Right. Like, then in this book, you could make some allotments.
It wouldn't really bother me because it is just all the gnomes or whatever.
It's like it's a gnome thing, and you can even try to excuse, like, whatever. I'm sure, because, like, I'm sure that, like, that the Arnold brothers are white.
Undoubtedly.
Right? Because whatever. But so, like, you can whatever, all those things, whatever, if there was the chance that gnomes or whatever. But when you look at the 50 or so books of Pratchett that I've read, and, like, the very small number of people of color and queer people and stuff and all the things that exist in those books. It reflects upon this book as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Words.
Woo!
Basically, though, we're done, right? Like,
yeah.
We said everything there is to say about this.
I recommend these, generally speaking.
Hey, read them. The thing is, it isn't just like there's like trying to find like other things. There's nothing like a Terry Pratchett book. Like I've read a lot of like even comedy things and like
nothing quite has that same feel.
Reading like Douglas Adams or whatever, which is a train wreck. Like, man, the difference between like what happens to Hitchhikers and what happened to like Pratchett's career is amazing to
me. Pratchett books feel uplifting more or less.
Everything after Restaurant is the end of the universe.
Makes me want to cry. Like,
everything after Restaurant is just a shit show. Like, it's fucking heck, man. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
Like,
and his other books, too. They just...
Oh, man. It's not good, right? And so, there really isn't anything else out like Pratchett. Like, no one is writing in a similar style. Maybe someone is.
And if you know someone who writes in a similar style but is more inclusive, please, for the love of all things, tell me.
Yeah, let me know if I'm wrong on this. But, like, I've looked around. Like, so much sort of, like, fantasy comedy is awful.
And that's not to say there isn't some, like, good fantasy comedy out there that is more inclusive. Just nothing that quite hits that same
note for me. The wordplay, the complete lack of concern for, like, your plot. If there's a joke, like Jasper Ford is okay with throwing away their entire plot for a joke at times, whatever, right?
Yeah, but he's also often worse than Pratchett.
Oh, God, yes. No, this is not, like, a thing, right? But, like, there's so... Like, it's not as much, I don't know. Like, we're telling a good story. Even, like, in a very serious something, like, Winter, whatever. What's the Winter one? Winter Hat? Winter... the Tiffany Aching book.
Winter Hat.
Like, even in the midst of, like, bad things, awful things, whatever, there's jokes all the time. They're perfectly willing to interrupt because it doesn't make the book worse by, like, having fun sometimes.
I think when you post this episode, you might need to make a note that this kind of just devolves into general Pratchett talk.
Nah. We'll figure it out. For having read three books, there isn't much to say, like, purely about the three books themselves.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they're good reads, but they're just not that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's a similar problem to what we have with, like, say, like, The Westing Game or something.
Yeah.
Good Although, read. Even more so with Westing Game, because that was so short.
And I...
Whatever. There's much to say.
So, that's the end of this. We're done with that. So, next month is The Wave by Walter Mosley.
Yay.
Which is a book that I chose, but I have not read, and neither has Claire.
Nope.
Have you read anything by Walter Mosley?
I have not. This will be my first Walter Mosley.
I've read a number of his detective stories. I like Walter Mosley. I'm not like, I don't know. It's whatever.
I know this one is sci-fi, but is it also detective-y? Because I love detective have stories.
No idea.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. But I know this is his like sci-fi work.
I have it in the library, so we're gonna get this one done and actually post it on time, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to get this one done and on time. So you get two in 1 month.
Whoop, yeah. Whoop.
Let's see, you can reach us at all the places, spoilerparty@outlook.com. Send us an email. And we're on Twitter and Tumblr. And the WordPress is spoilerparty.wordpress.com. Which, man, WordPress has devolved into Tumblr so fast and so hard. Like, devolve maybe isn't the right term. But devolve seems to work out best for me. Let's see. Is there anywhere else?
As always, if you're one of our two listeners and you know us in person, you can also just say hi.
You can just say hello to us. We're eager to talk to people.
Yeah. That's such a lie.
It sounds lonely. No, we're just not eager to talk to people, but...
If you're cool.
Yes, if you're cool. It's best a cool test.
It's very rigorous.
Very, very rigorous. It involves like cute pigs and so forth. It's a lot of work.
What are you feeling? Do you like cute pigs and do you like Inkay Jemisin?
It's basically the list, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you fail either of those, it's not even funny.
There's no chance. Yeah, just don't just leave. Bother.
So we're going to come back to you in a number of days and we're going to talk about the wave. And yeah.
Yay.
Goodbye.
Bye.